Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a fascinating program for our listeners today. Me and my good friend...
Dave Colonen.
Dave, it sure is good to see you.
I am here again today. Wouldn't miss it.
I know that you, and you have a lot of fascinating material to contribute today. This is right down your alley. We're going to be talking about vows, the vows that we make to one another, and of course, mostly the vows that we make to God, and just how sensitive that subject is. It's important. For our listeners, I would encourage you, if you don't want to take notes, at least get your Bible out. There's so many scriptures that we cite through this material. We can't read them all. We don't have enough time. But I can at least tell you what some of them are. Some of them I will read to you. Some of them you can write down and research yourself. But it's a fascinating subject. And Dave and I like to talk to you about things that are based on Scripture. Yeah, we use our heart and our personal experiences. That's true. We like to share that we are real. We are human. We're no different than anybody else. We don't claim to be any better or any worse. But our decision based is found on the Scriptures. And that's what we try to live by. So let's talk about vows right now. Vows are not a frivolous thing to God. It's very important. God is not playful or frivolous nor trivial. No, no, no. God takes your promise to him quite seriously, in fact. Let me read something from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, a couple of verses here. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay.
Well, that's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. And we're reading from the King James Version. It's always, sometimes it's awkward to translate that quickly. You have to think about it for a moment. But that's what it really says, is that God takes these things seriously. God describes promise breakers as fools. If you're going to be described as a fool in the eyes of God, that's not a good sign. God humiliates fools. God moves away from fools. God uses fools as illustrations for destruction. You know, the wise always keep their promises. Keep your promises to your family or to the Lord. All of these promises will have to be something that you keep. Maintain a high integrity. When you give your word in a business transaction or to your children, it's the same thing. You've got to keep your promise. God is a covenant God. He remembers every vow you make before him and man. Oh, stop and re-examine your life this very moment. Have you made any financial vows to your church or to the man of God in your life? Well, pay them. Whatever it takes, pay your vows. It will break the curse. When you keep your vow, God's very best begins to come to you. Read Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Those are important chapters for you to consider. God guarantees that incredible blessings always come to those who observe and do all of his commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1, you find that sort of thing. Let me share a little story. I know God has spoken to me this night to plant a seed of $1,000 in your ministry. You will receive it in a few days, she said, whispering tears of joy from her eyes. A few days later, a letter arrived. It was an apology. The lady wrote, "After I talked to my husband, I felt that I should break my promise to you. I do not believe we can really afford to sow this special seed at this time." Oh, the heartache that broken promises are created in our lives. You see, while she was in the presence of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit was hovering over the congregation, the seed of her faith exploded within her heart. God spoke, she heard, she moved swiftly. She quickly declared her covenant with God. After she moved away from his presence, discussed this gigantic step of faith with an unbelieving husband, she withdrew from her covenant which she had entered into God. Oh, only time will reveal the curse that such an attitude of frivolity and lightheartedness will produce in our lives. We must take these things seriously.
Well, you picked a great subject today, gift. We talk about vows. Being a preacher, I have helped young people and old people make vows of marriage that, hey, I'm going to stick with you forever. But then I read all about it in the papers that like 50-60% now do not honor those vows, and that frightens me. Yeah. I've tried to be careful in my counseling so that I wouldn't be guilty of making it easy for somebody to get a vow, to not live with it, to get a divorce and get out of the house. That still bothers me tremendously as a preacher and saying vows with people. My girls, when I married them, I have three daughters, saying a vow, I had some tremendous time with them during the day of counseling with them and said to my own daughters, you know, this is something that is so important. You can never relinquish this vow that we're going to say together today.
Way to go.
And sure enough, we have all three intact today and families growing up. There's all kinds of vows that was an important one to me. One day we went to a studio to make an album of music. And we got there and got started into it. Maybe about four or five songs we had done. We had maybe half a dozen more. And a man walked into the studio and said, can I sit here and listen to you guys? I said, oh, yeah, man, come on. So he sat down, and two or three songs, he said, boy, he said, I'm here to make you guys an offer. He said, all you have to do is change the words and sing the same kind of music that you guys are perfect at it. And if you just change the words a little bit, I can make you more money in 6 months than you'll make in your lifetime.
Ooh.
Boy, did that perk our ears up, right?
I guess, too.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
And we all looked at each other, and we made some vows when we left school. We had to because the president wanted us to do his thing and get a church and become a preacher. And we said, no, we're gonna be singers, and we're going to be a singing preacher. Well, we made that kind of vow, and we all looked at each other, and here's this guy offering us, all you do is sign paper right here, and you'll make more money in 6 months. And all you have to do is change a few of the words. Well, then we said, look, sir, would you just step out of the room? We want to talk a little bit about this before we say yes or no. And when he left the room, we all said, okay, what about this? And I said, well, we made a vow to serve the Lord. This is serving Satan. We're gonna sing worldly music. We made a pact with God that we were gonna sing gospel music, and we are not doing that well. There's not a lot of money in it for us right now, but this man has offered us a big bundle of cash. And at that moment, we all looked at each other and said, nope, we will never relinquish our vow to sing gospel music.
Wow.
58 years later, we're still laughing at that guy.
Yeah.
He probably would have made more money in 6 months than we made the whole 58 years.
He might have been telling you the truth, but it was Satan in disguise.
Right.
And you were a young man. Were you married at the time?
Yes, I was.
Were you?
But I had just gotten married.
So dollars were precious to you.
We were broke. We were poor.
That opportunity.
We needed everything.
It appeared to be an opportunity of a lifetime. Make a lot of money quickly.
Yep. Boy.
And you turned it down.
We just said to ourselves, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do what God, he'll take care of us.
Yes.
He is still taking care of us.
Yes.
And the vow that I made to sing gospel music, people have even come to us and said, look, would you sing this song? It's a little worldly, but put it on one of your albums. We'd like to have it. No. We weren't even going to sing frivolous music. If you listen to all 55 albums of over 500 songs,
yeah,
they are godly songs. We didn't sing frivolous music. Yeah, we sang a song with a message, and we did it from the bottom of our hearts, and we overpronounced so that everybody would get every word.
Every single word.
If you listen to 500 songs from the Couriers, you will hear every word.
Is that right?
And it's every syllable. Probably overpronounced, but
yeah,
it made us stand out in front of a 100 gospel groups. We go to any program and people say, I can't understand those guys. I didn't hear the message. And then when you guys came on, it was like somebody turned on the light and you said every word and I got it. I loved it. Where can I buy some of your albums?
How about that?
Some vows.
That's a wonderful testimony.
It's like saying vows to your wife. You know, you say, I'm marrying you.
Yep.
And 58 years, I've been married 58 years this
58
year.
58 years.
So That's a vow that I made, and Judy and I aren't getting a divorce. Nope. We're in the happiest moments of our married life.
That's right.
I mean, the sweeter it gets as the days go by. We're not falling apart at the seams. We are glued together with a magic of love and vows that will be here until we die.
That's wonderful. It's a shame everybody can't say that. But I agree with you. I'm right with you. In fact, that's the only thing you and I disagree on. I say I have the greatest wife on earth, and you say you have the greatest wife on earth. Now, we both can't be right. Actually, I believe we can. But everyone should be so joyful. My wife has just got to be one of the greatest things. I would never betray her trust, and I will honor our vows before God as long as I'm taking in a breath. And I'm very grateful that I have such a wonderful wife. And I know that you and Judy can say the same thing about each other. What a wonderful relationship you have, and that's so very beautiful. Those vows will not be broken by us.
Let me say this, Giff.
Sure.
I am so grateful that there has been a vow that I could make and that that I could keep it. It's a strong part of my life.
Yes.
And when you make a vow, if you're listening today and you're saying, what are those two guys talking about? They're old men. They've been married so long, over 50 years. What are they talking about? What does that concern me? It concerns all of you who are listening to us right now, because your husband's coming home in a few hours, and how you greet him is going to make a lot of difference about the vow you made. Sometimes people forget that they made a vow. And I can't understand how 60%, 50, 60% of America is in divorce, even the Christians. It doesn't matter whether you go to church or not.
Isn't that a horrible statistic?
And if you listen to that and you say, why did they say that? God said that to you. You made a vow, and he will help you keep it.
That's right.
And you'll be happy the rest of your life if you do.
Yes. And that's all you have to do is think about that vow that you made before God to your spouse, male and female alike, and all your worldly problems will dissipate. That's just the way it works. Many years ago, I was seated in my bed watching a religious television program, and suddenly a famous evangelist looked into the camera and forcibly said, if you have made a vow to God at any time and not paid it, you have launched a parade of tragedies. Please sit down and pay your vow. Well, you see, that's a conviction. Now, that's the conviction of the heart. Over 2 years before I had promised a missionary in Africa that I would help sponsor some student for scholarship in his Bible college, I had asked him to rush me the material about it. When I was not receiving the material, I did nothing. I did not telephone him or pursue a reason. I simply used it as an excuse to escape my vow that I had made to him. As I watched the telecast that night, God reminded me of my promise. As I felt my heart pound, I knelt beside my bed and prayed, please forgive me. Give me another chance. Do not withhold your harvest from me. It was midnight, but I called my secretary anyway. What you do when you arrive in the office tomorrow morning, please take the checkbook. Write out a check to this Bible school in East Africa. Airmail it. I cannot live another day without the blessing of God flowing upon me. I cannot afford a curse in my life at this ministry. That's a neat story. And I just read that little story out of a
quite
out
a
of
story.
These notes. Yes,
quite a story.
It is. It is. In other words, though, the guy who wrote that story was trying to share that when you make a vow to a missionary, that's the same as making it to God himself. Or you make it to anybody. You know, the person vowed that he was going to provide this support, and he did not. Because the person in the receiving end didn't fully address their commitment, so that gave him an out. That was an excuse for me to not do what I promised or what I vowed.
There are a lot of times we vowed to do missionary work, we wanted to take a month out of every year and give it to the Lord for free. We made a vow to ourselves that every year, usually in February, we'll take a month and we'll give it to the Lord. And whatever it takes to get there, to do that. It took money. It takes money to go overseas.
Oh, my, yes.
It'll cost you a fortune.
Yes, indeed.
And if you take a month, you're going to go, you get out of the country for a month, you're going to spend some big bucks.
You're going to spend a lot of money.
Right. Well, a lot of times, some of the years, we'd come down to like, we're leaving February, and we already made the commitment, and now we are far from the money. Didn't want to go and say, hey, Mr. Banker, we're here again to ask you for a loan. We've got to do a job for God. A lot of times we wanted to say, let's just call the missionary and tell him we can't come this year. That was an easy way out.
Sure.
But I watched us. We were men with heart for what we were doing. We wanted to do it right. And I can remember us saying, look, let's go to the bank, borrow the money. And let's go do the job for God. We promised him that we would.
Yeah.
And let's do it. And those are some of the best years of our life.
Yeah.
We'd come home broke, and actually we'd start our concert tour again as we finished. I'd come home broke. And every night it was amazing how the people would come to us and say, you know, we bought all your records, but we want to buy another one tonight. We just, something about you guys, we just can't walk out without a record. And the offerings, people just couldn't walk away without putting something in. Many times they come, in a month's time, we made up all the money that we had borrowed.
Isn't that tremendous?
And we stood back and marveled at what was happening to us. And the next year when we come down, the same thing. We can't go February this year. There's no way. And then we'd always say, yeah, but how about last year?
Yeah.
How about last year? What happened to us?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd say, yep, let's do it again.
That's fantastic. That's a powerful testimony, Dave.
Well,
that's a powerful testimony.
We have the memories, and that's what this Christmas, past Christmas, was all about. We got together. We had a night where Dwayne and Neil and I and our wives went to the restaurant and sat for 3 hours over some food.
Yeah.
And I wish we would have recorded what we talked about.
Oh, my.
It was a prize. When we left there, we went home, and I know all six of us slept like babies that night for what we had talked about. Now that we've been retired for 3 years.
That's right.
December 29th is our third year, and we always start our fourth year. And it was the memories of things, just like we're talking about.
Yes.
The vows that we made were so important. We laughed at the man who said he'd give us so much money, and how we didn't need it. God provided at the right time. And there's 100 stories how the money came from everywhere.
Oh, I bet.
To do what we had to do and the missionary outreach that we had.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
61 countries you're in, or is that right?
61 countries.
61 countries.
We went to a country in Africa, Liberia.
Okay.
And after 2 weeks of working there in the Bible school and helping the preacher, we said, why don't we do something for the missions while we're here, as well as doing the dig. We told them we'd dig ditches and preach and sing and whatever they wanted. But those days in Africa, when we went to the library, we went to that little village. We had to walk 5 miles through the jungle.
Oh, my.
Those people probably had never seen, you know, cars or trucks or whatever, because you couldn't even ride a bicycle through the jungle. You had to walk. The last hill was climbing up, and when we got on top of the hill, the village was there, about 150 people with all the huts. They all lived in huts, and there was nobody there. It was empty. And we said to our missionary friend, "Hey, Jerry, where's the people?" He said, "Oh, they're here. They're afraid of you. You're white."
Yeah.
And they had a lookout, and they saw the, we were white men coming, and they all ran and hid. They're all here.
Yeah.
He said, "I'll just walk out in the middle, and they'll see who it is. They know me, and they'll all come running, 150 of them." And sure enough, he went out and walked into the middle of the huts.
Yep.
And here they all ran out, came from behind trees and bushes and other houses.
Just like he said.
We had our service. Jerry said, "Look, why don't you come and we'll get the service going. They have church anytime we come," because that's what I taught them. He said, "They'd never been to church. They don't know anything about God. And I came here 4 years and I wanted to leave after my 4 years were up, knowing that I had found somebody that had never heard the gospel, and I helped them."
Yeah.
And here's this little village.
Yeah.
He said, I want you to sing for them. They won't understand because they speak another language, but they'll enjoy the music the way you sing it. So we sang 4 or 5 songs, and then he came to us. He said, "Look, why don't you have them sing to us?" So the couriers, we sat down on the ground. Uh-huh. They didn't even have benches.
Uh-huh.
And they began to sing, and Jerry, who was the missionary, taught them how to sing in English. "Hallelujah, Jesus loves you."
Mm-hmm.
"Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus loves you." Well, it was the dirtiest, filthiest, ugly church you've ever been in your life. But at that moment,
it didn't matter.
It was the best church that I'd ever been in.
That's right.
It was far from home. It sure didn't look like we were going to do any good there. But wow. It changed the whole attitude.
Changed you completely. Huh?
Yeah, we had a little camera that would develop a picture. We developed a little baby. And I'll tell you that story some other time.
They wanted that picture, didn't they?
They got it, too. We put it up on the church door. It's probably still there.
That's amazing, Dave. That is truly an amazing story. I just love to listen to those kinds of stories. They're the fantastic work. Do you realize the word, you said hallelujah there, you were singing hallelujah. Do you realize that's a universal word across all languages?
That's right.
Yeah, if you can sing hallelujah, that's any language.
It's amazing what you can do.
Yes, it is.
When God sends you.
With that one word. And they didn't even speak English.
Yeah.
David, we have exhausted our time. You have made it very clear.
I know we have. I thought we were coming close.
Well, we were talking very firmly about the vows that we make and how important it is to God that we maintain our integrity and keep our vows and our promises to one another, to all of mankind, but mostly, of course, our vows to God. So if you've come up short somewhere along the line and you're feeling a weakness in your heart, and we've all promised that when we joined the church that we were going to share our times, our talents, our dollars, and our gifts with God, and we've got to own up to our vows. I would encourage all of you to do that. For right now, Dave and I must say bye-bye for now, and we hope to see you again real soon. Thank you for sharing your time.
Hey, we're happy to be here. Have a good one. See you next time. Bye-bye.